And welcome to Open Sources Guelph here on CFRU 93.3 FM, Guelph Campus and Community Radio. I'm Adam A. Donaldson of Guelph Politico, and joining me is...
Scotty Hertz, coming to you live this week with Adam A. Donaldson from Studio One at CFRU.
Studio One and only.
Studio 1.1.
I mean, yeah, we're a bit rusty because you're at the controls again.
You can hear the rust in my knuckles.
Open Sources is CFRU's political and current affairs discussion show, and you can listen to us live here on CFRU every Thursday at 5 p.m. You can also listen to us live online. Go to CFRU.ca and click on the Listen Now icon at the top right-hand corner of your screen. And you can listen to us anytime by downloading the Open Sources podcast on Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. Today we will look at the National Housing Strategy announced by the federal Liberals last week and whether this is going to seriously address issues of housing or is it going to slap another Band-Aid on it. And then we will have a very special pre-budget conversation with Ward 6 Councillor Carl Wettstein. He'll give us his thoughts on how things are shaping up for the 2018 budget and his great expectations for next year, including maybe a new South End Rec Center that is getting ever so closer to beginning construction. But first, speaking of construction, Ontario PC leader Patrick Brown announced the new iPhone this week. That was the first thing I thought of when I found that picture, and I used it for our website post about the show. I was like, here's Patrick Brown.
He's dancing like...
announcing the new iPad. It's
Windows 95 release dance, which is one of the best things
ever. Say hello, Macintosh. But yeah, he actually announced the platform for the PCs for the 2018 election, which is also next year, the provincial election. And it was kind of unusual so far as PC election policies. And I knew immediately upon reading it that I was going to be very eager to hear Scotty Hertz's opinions on it.
Well, yeah. Thank you for your eagerness. Somebody had tweeted that about how they pretty much stole the Expos logo for their...
The People's Guarantee.
It does sound like something that, you know, early Chairman Mao kind of like, this is the People's Guarantee of our 5-year plan that we will make steel.
Comrade Brown will guarantee
exactly,
for the people of Ontario.
But of course, no. Comrade Brown is much kinder and gentler. Some of the other analysis, some of my favorite comment was by Andrew Coyne. He described it as iridescent vapidity.
Oh, damn.
That's a $100 word each. $100 each. I was going to say more of the same, but it's not, though. This is the kinder, gentler PCs. And I think Coyne's comment and others, too, is like, how the heck are you actually going to pay for all this? Because, you know, on the surface, you look at it, it's like there's no... Well, according to the Liberals, if you look in the fine print and the NDP, there's cuts in there somewhere. Page 76, I was told, but since I couldn't find a PDF of the darn thing, I couldn't find page 76 of the glossy. So, Guelph PCs, if you're listening, we'd love a copy of your policy because
That was the most PC move in this, is that you can't find a digital copy of it or a link to it. That's very PC.
It's mimeograph. It's all purple.
It's very conservative. No one's on this internet except tree huggers.
What's this interweb business?
Yeah.
So the commitments, the five commitments. What are the five commitments?
I believe they're pillars, actually.
Pillars?
That's what he called them.
Oh, I was thinking about commitments, the movie. No, the five pillars. Anyway, if he
please go on.
Maybe he's committed to meet the pillars, and if he doesn't, he says he will resign. If he does not deliver on the five pillar commitments, he will not run for a second term. And the five commitments, how can we do this?
Let's get you to a first term.
Yes, exactly. You got to get in first there, Chief. Cut taxes for the middle class. And I don't know where this 22.5% income tax cut is going to come from. That's by 22.5%, not 22.5% off, because I think that's like the early middle class tax rate is about that, 22-23%. I could have that wrong. Hydro rates will be reduced by 12%. Planning to invest, I think this is one of the pillars, the $5 billion for the subways. Does that qualify as pillar grade? I guess so.
Yes. No, that was.
And these new subways will be owned by Queen's Park.
Yeah.
As opposed to Metrolinx, I suppose.
Well, not just that.
Metrolinx.
Well, he wants Metrolinx to take over the TTC in its entirety. that to take it off the Toronto books in order to, I can't remember his exact wording, but his belief is that if it's run through Queen's Park, the funding problems will not be as consequential and that it would be easier to move forward with these expanded projects, including the Scarborough subway line, which, you know,
the one-stop shopping
subway. 6 years later is nowhere closer to having a shovel in the ground because everyone knows it's stupid, but there are a lot of people in Scarborough who desperately think it's necessary.
I think that made a list of projects like the biggest boondoggles on the go right now at municipal level. Let's see if I can find the link to that. It's like, oh, who builds a one-stop subway for $1 billion? And it's never $1 billion. Mm-hmm. Like, it won't be. Whatever number they say it is, if they haven't broken ground yet, it's not $1 billion. It's going to be more. The other two, as you mentioned, cutting income tax. And was it paid childcare costs? What was that again?
It was like 75%.
75%. That's
rebate,
right.
Yeah.
75% refund for families on their childcare. Mm-hmm. It's a darn near socialist platform. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it's pretty socialist.
The liberals, yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think they learned well the lesson of the last two elections and what happened with JT back in 2015. And that is, you know, you faint left, as another columnist put it, Thomas Balkin. And this is a feint. I mean, Patrick Brown, I think we forget that Patrick Brown was the social conservative right wing choice. Mm-hmm. In the PC leadership bid, the red Tory was Christine Elliott.
Yeah, and I don't think there was any mention in the platform because I couldn't see it or wasn't up front at least about the social conservative issues.
Right.
Like, they're not even on the radar.
Not even on the radar.
It's all about the money, which of course is what people.
Which is,
any election comes around, it's economy, jobs, economy, and who's going to pay? So that's the question. But
right.
I don't know. I think to find some of the cuts that they're talking about, I mean, the only choice is increase taxes or cut spending. Those are the two. There's no, unless they're going to be blessed with money from somewhere that's magically going to appear. Maybe they're figuring they'll make enough on marijuana. That's going to be quite
maybe,
a bit.
But
I'm not sure what their cut will be.
Right. And I think, I think, though, in speaking of marijuana, they've been trying to underplay just how much money is going to be pulled in from that, which I think is probably shrewd because always keeps, you know, it's, I think marijuana might end up being a gambling thing where we see the early adapters, you know, places like Colorado, you know, make a lot of money hand over fist. But that's because they're one of the only places doing it. Once it becomes more common. Like when gambling, where, you know, every few miles or so you can find a casino now.
Yeah.
It's a bit tougher.
But in this province, gambling, booze, and now marijuana will all be run by the province. And they make billions, so.
Yeah. Well, they'll make some money, but I think, you know, and when you're talking about the numbers Patrick Brown is talking about, you'll note that there's no talk in here about cutting 100,000 government jobs.
No.
There's no talking about funding religious schools. Like, this is kind of very purpose-driven to not stick his foot in his mouth.
Yeah.
And, of course, he's getting out early than not just the other parties, but, you know, earlier than...
Early.
Then, yeah, well, then, yeah, but I mean,
like
just
a year early.
Just generally from other, it's not that early. It's like June 7th is the
oh, sorry, I was confusing municipal, yeah.
Yeah, but so, you know, we're not so early, but I mean, at the same time, usually you could see these policy papers drop, you know, within the dropping of the writ, if not afterwards.
Yeah.
So he's clearly of a mind, I mean, Patrick Brown, I think, seems shrewd enough that he wants to work out the kinks, and he needs maybe time to sell this, if this is what they're going to sell. And my question is, this will play well with, I think, independents and people who, you know, when Tim Hudak comes out and talks about cutting 100,000 jobs, are sort of immediately turned off by that sort of hardcore, what was the Mike Harris thing, common sense approach.
Yeah.
And the real question is he going to be able to energize the base, the Monty McNaughton side, which threw their support to Brown on the basis that he comes from Harperland, that he was against gay marriage, he was against, you know, sex ed, all this stuff that he has been very curtly trying to put out. It's like a fire that keeps sparking. I keep trying to pat down. I mean, we saw that in the by-election, I guess it was 2 years ago in Scarborough, where somebody put out a press release that said, you know, this candidate, with the help of Patrick Brown, will get rid of the sex ed curriculum rebooting. And
he'll be like, I never said that.
No. Yeah, and he frantically stamped that out.
Yeah.
Because I think he knows it's a loser in the general. But you still can't, I mean, you can't discount the base. And
I was kind of wondering, too, if this is, it was released to kind of distract from what's going on with, like, the police probe and that and the things going
well,
on.
Well, there's
the
that,
riding,
too.
At the riding levels, which I'm pretty sure nothing will come of that. You never know, though. It's Hamilton, West, Ancaster, Dundas.
And a little bit here, too.
Criminal investigation. Yeah, and there's it sounds like there's been shenanigans in a lot of the ridings as to whether it will be. Well, the one in Hamilton is a criminal investigation. I don't know if anything will come of the other ones because this kind of stuff happens all the time. But yeah, as you're saying, like, I think the goal of this is to kind of scoop up all the, not necessarily the neutrals, but those that aren't aligned with a particular party, the mushy middle, let's call them.
The mushy middle is good.
And the people that are pretty much fed up with the liberal century at this point, right? was it 03, right? Yeah. So that's all we've seen. So far, between Dalton McGuinty and Kathleen Wynne. So I think they're going full throttle here for, you know, with the expectation that they are going to be the change.
Well, it's theirs to lose. I mean, it's...
It sounds like it, but the PCs are ahead in polls. Well, though, right? You remember?
No, of course.
$1 billion power plant boomdoggle. That was the kind of thing that used to bring a government down completely. But now it's just kind of like, well, we don't want slash and burn Hudak. And
well, you know, I think in so much as people hated how the plant thing was handled, people wanted them gone.
Oh yeah,
they still went.
Yes,
you know, it's you may not have liked the process, but you know the results you can live with. And yeah, the flip side of it is too that the PCs are having their own controversies right now, and it's also been hitting them pretty hard in like the third party kind of campaigning that's been going on. If you've been watching terrestrial TV, there's been tons of commercials, liberal commercials, PC commercials, including, you know, Patrick Brown did this, like, I'm hot, kinder, happier PC guy that Andrew Scheer tried to copy.
Oh,
I finally saw that commercial today, and it is so dramatically staged.
22 minutes showed it, and it wasn't even a mocking. They were mocking it as it was playing, like you do when you're watching YouTube.
Yeah, it was like Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Exactly.
But, but there's been also been the working families of Ontario and
the women. What was the woman?
Working women of Ontario or something. But yes, but they've also been hitting Patrick Brown specifically very hard. It's been on the flip-flopping side. And then you had the Liberals getting into that with that mock magazine cover of like Flip-Flop Monthly with cover.
I didn't see that one.
That was on Twitter with cover boy Patrick Brown and the new Expos inspired logo.
Yeah, it's
prominently
blatant. I mean, it really is.
I mean, so they're trying to put on a face of like, we're the new kinder, gentler PCs. Here's our new logo, which is reminiscent of a baseball team that hasn't existed for like 20 years.
Yes, but people remember
people still wear the Expos hat. You still see it.
So, yeah, I mean, you have to wonder, too, again, getting back to, like, where the cash is going to come from. I wonder if it's going to be the kind of thing where, we've got this new leg of the 407, which is owned by the province. Is that the kind of thing that they're going to sell off to try and get some billions from somewhere?
Who knows? I mean, there wasn't a lot of talk about how to pay for this, at least not in the media coverage.
I think that's the problem that COIN and others have with it, is like there's no, I think the word fully costed was mentioned, but there's no, you know, the hard numbers. Some hard numbers are that they're saying that they are going to run a deficit, but I think it's currently what, 193, 194 billion? Like,
yeah, they were going to run a deficit for the first year.
Yeah.
First year, and then it was going to, I seems a tad optimistic. I mean, even at the time, it seemed like the $10 billion deficit that Trudeau was tossing around in 2015 was a bit optimistic, too. But, I mean, Trudeau proved that you can go out and say, look, we're going to run a deficit, and people are going to go, yeah, all right. I mean, if it's for the right cause.
And everybody's like, oh, okay, whatever.
Well,
somebody got to pay the bill.
Right? Yes, very true.
Which is you and me. I'm gonna be...
Speaking of paying bills.
Yes.
National Housing Strategy. JT announced that last week, along with several members of his cabinet, including Adam Vaughn was there, because that was kind of his portfolio when he was on Toronto City Council promoting mm-hmm. affordable housing. So it's a fairly ambitious agenda. Be actually not starting till about April 2020. We're seeing the lion's share of the funds actually starting to be dispersed. But it, Trudeau basically wanted to make it known that this was the federal government coming to play in affordable housing again and making significant investments there. However, as I said, you know, it's not until April 2020 we're going to see money there. And then on top of that, only half of it is going to come from the feds. The other half is dependent on the provinces and territories. So he's promising all these other places are going to pony up money after they've been saying for years, we need money. And yeah, when you kind of start getting into the weeds there, it's...
Yeah, and I think one of the biggest criticisms of it is the timeline. The 10-year arc is too long.
Yeah.
For a lot of people, for most people. And that's not to say that you wouldn't take the money or the program strategy as it's coming, because you have to, pretty much. I mean, take Guelph, for example. I cannot think of any affordable housing on the horizon in Condoland here, but yeah, a bit of editorializing there. But yeah, no, it's true though. I mean, it's just not on the radar here. And when they're talking the 100,000 new units and repairs to 300,000, I take it a lot of that will be in the major centers like Toronto, where we know that public housing in Toronto is falling apart in a lot of places, really bad. So I guess that's where that's going to go. So, you know, there are issues with this too. One of the weirder articles I saw, not weirder, but it was like, come on, really? It was in Maclean's. It was saying that the market is what will make housing affordable. Said no one ever, except the Fraser Institute. That's part of the reason, not why I dumped Maclean's, but I was like, really? You guys, like, their logic was, okay, so people will sell their houses, they'll move into luxury houses, so then those other houses become available, aka more affordable, but I don't think they realize that most of them, you know, get torn down to build big mansions. Don't want to get too much into the whole real estate back and forth on that,
Get bought to be like reinvested, like so
well,
that people.
That's what it's about.
Yeah, I mean, turn them into rentals or what have you.
I don't think I've ever made a different point on it, and that it's all about, you know, little boxes of cash as opposed to dwellings anymore. The post famous. Mm-hmm. Post-war program that Canada had they weren't called Canada Mortgage and Housing then, they were called like the Central Mortgage and Housing, same thing, right? And built a ton of houses, mostly for veterans, and the demand was high with the baby boom, but of course those aren't the types of houses that people want to live in anymore. And I think a lot of times when they talk about affordable housing, they mean affordable housing for the middle class, which is one of these points that they go on and on about. They don't mean affordable housing for anybody.
Community housing, yeah.
Community housing or people sleeping on the street.
Yeah.
They know it's not coded, but they are saying when they say affordable, they mean it's for
well, it's coded, but not in an intentional sense.
No.
In terms of, you know,
because when people think affordable housing in the classic sense, they think of the
I can afford it.
Public housing. And can you afford it? Exactly.
Yeah. It's that was, I think, something having followed the affordable housing debates here in the last year that people have gotten those two terms confused. And, you know, affordable housing in Guelph, you're talking about renting a one-bedroom apartment for in the $1,000 range. I don't know. I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but
I think $1,000 is the average for the province for major centers.
Yeah,
which is really high.
Well, which is high, and it also gets into the areas of, well, first of all, is affordable if just by averaging things out? That's a very philosophical question, but it also does nothing to get into the bigger issues, which is stock, which is what type of stock is available. There's, you know, near where I live, there's a couple of apartment buildings coming online soon that have one-bedroom suites in them. And these are the first one-bedroom suites that have come available, new one-bedroom suites that have come available on the Guelph retail market in years.
Is that
years.
The ones near the Costco, or are they being...
Yeah, those are the ones.
Yeah.
On Elmira, yeah.
Yeah. I didn't realize there were any one-bedrooms in there. I didn't think they did that. But, of course... Well, also, when you drive by, does that billboard say luxury? That's all I ever see in the billboards is luxury.
And it's, that's the eye-catching part.
So there's a bit of luxury on it that's it. Like, it's luxury equals not affordable, like, at all. Now, as to whether this program, I don't know if they've done a solid on yet, is whether it's going to be like other, quotes, affordable housing programs where they kind of have, they'll redo a development like they did with Regent's Park and have affordable units inside of them. But of course that's when people kind of get, I think they call it corralling, where it's like, okay, here's your separate entrance, go in here. I believe that's what happened with Woodward's in Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
The old I think it was a department store. You've seen it on the Vancouver skyline with the electric W. It was there for years and years and years and years. That's what happened there, in terms of you got a separate door for the social housing and then everybody else will go in the regular door.
Which isn't classist at all.
No, not at all. But that, I mean, and again, it's not a solution as well. So I'm not sure how much they're going to rely on the markets and the P3 structure of things to take care of this. But the what did the other leaders say? I think...
Singh?
Yagmeet said...
He criticized the plan for putting things off until after the next election, which,
yes.
Yeah, that is the cynical reading, and I think it's fairly not understated. And then Andrew Scheer said it's going to make it much harder for people to buy their first home and keep up because of Trudeau and his tax hikes, which is the very partisan angle to put this, because I don't think... Trudeau's quote-unquote tax hikes are the reasons why people can't afford houses. I mean, if you look at Guelph as an example, where we are within range of a very hot housing market, and it's cooled off to a degree, but you had people from Toronto who were priced out of Toronto, still wanted the picket fence,
yep.
Had money to burn, looking within, you know, an hour, hour and a half's drive of Toronto, seeing Guelph, having their realtors call up Guelph, and Guelph having limited stock on the market, having realtors there call realtors here and say, hey, you know that house that you're selling for $300,000? We're going to give you $450,000. Case closed.
And that's
that's the end of that chapter.
And it all goes up from there. Everything rises. So.
And so that's... Meanwhile, there are areas in the country that are relatively unaffected. My sister and her husband live in Wheaton, Ontario.
Oh, wow.
Wheatley, Ontario. Got their house for under $200,000. And, you know, she's...
How far is that from here? Like an hour?
Well, it's maybe 2.5 hours. It's like outside of Windsor. It's like an hour.
Oh, I was going the wrong way. I think of somewhere. Wheaton. Not
Wheatley.
Wheaton. Wheatley.
Wheatley. It's a small town outside of Windsor.
Shout out to Wheatley, Ontario.
It's along the lake. It's very nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's near Leamington.
Right. Pelee Island.
Right.
Right.
So, you know...
What's your geography lesson for today? Is that east or west?
But it's it's very affordable there. If you have a good paying job in Windsor or Sarnia and the surrounding area, you can get a nice house along there. It's a bit more difficult when you're up and around Toronto. It's a bit more difficult when you're in the areas around Montreal or Vancouver, and especially much more difficult if you're living around Vancouver. So it's
and of course
it's,
we're
it's
right
relative
the,
as well.
We're right on the border now, as you were saying, the Toronto effect, where it's just sort of...
Well, I
the
think
real estate radiation coming from there.
Real estate radiation
wiping us out as well. It's like,
but I
show
think,
us the money.
But I think, you know, there's the term now. I can't remember the term, but it's not just the Greater Toronto Area now. It's like the super Greater
not
Toronto
the
Area
Horseshoe.
Where, you know, we're included in that, and like Hamilton's included in that now. Like the Golden Horseshoe is now kind of the Greater Toronto Area, which is nuts. But I mean, that's what we're looking at. I feel like we're talking about more geography than housing, but there you go. I think the
housing
problem
is geography, really.
But the problem is bigger than this strategy, and I think it's bigger It's bigger, but it's more limited too, because we feel the effects here. We don't necessarily, you're not going to necessarily feel the effects in suburban Saskatoon, but, or, you know, suburban Halifax or any place like that. But I think the bigger problem or the direct problem is, how do you get people into homes? How do you get people without homes into homes? How do you get people who can probably manage a mortgage into a home, because the threshold is so much higher now, unless you're going to sit and use demanding people move to places where there's cheaper housing in their price range? And then on top of all that, how do you stymie for an investment without, like, killing a robust market, which is another thing that's been difficult with? And I'm not sure anything in this national strategy answers any of those questions.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, is it, do they build houses now as, you know, to house people, or is it a commodity? We've talked about this lots. Mm-hmm. I think if anything, to get people into housing, they need to take a fire hose to the market, because it's about the market. It's all about the market now. I can't even look at the Guelph Homes insert now. It's like, not only is my mind blown by the price of places, but there's so many people in real estate. It's like, really? Like,
I don't know if they
shouldn't be building stuff in this town anymore. Right. They should, but it's like I look at it and we've talked about this before. This is the majority of people that I know, and probably you know as well, mm-hmm. couldn't really just sort of be able to lock into a place.
No.
At all.
No.
Yeah, so what were you going to say?
I could probably never afford a house here unless I become a millionaire or win the lottery, or, you know, just
win the home lottery.
Just suddenly have like $500,000 in my pocket. Like, I don't even need to win like the Lotto Max. I, you know, just maybe Lotario.
We're going to crowdfund a house.
What was that? Thank you.
Yes. Just a little flat, a little apartment.
That's very unnecessary, but I'm quite happy where I am.
Good.
I don't know about you, but do you get the calls from, like, local realtors, like, looking if you're selling?
We've had a couple of door hangers and things.
But not phone calls.
No.
Because we've gotten phone calls.
Real? For your place?
Yeah.
Really?
Which we don't even own. We rent.
Well, yeah. That's I don't know if it's just people feeling it. I can say when I was some of the family home in Mississauga all the time, like for years and years and years. Mm-hmm. And everyone was trying to look for an inn, because that market is that, and still is that hot.
Right.
You know, just weird sort of people driving around and would show up and be like, hey, like, well, so.
This is a nice house. We'll take it.
Exactly. Do you live here? And like, just, you know. And I think you can imagine what my reaction to that was, but yeah. So that kind of stuff really bothers me. I should be flattered that everybody wants the place. But, of course, what do they do? Just come in with a digger and go, and then it's gone. Then they put up a big mansion.
Probably.
Sorry to beat on the same point again. But
a skinny mansion.
It's one of the problems.
Yeah.
Where the sort of working class house becomes something $2.5, $3 million on a non-$2.5, $3 million street, and two people live in it. That is the problem. One of the problems. So I think until, you know, we should go back in time and maybe get back on this program. I know there's lots of people that are willing to. They had some on campus of those kit homes. People slugged it and built it themselves. Said, okay, if you say like they do with Habitat for Humanity, like if you can do this and live here, then we'll give it to you for this price. We'll give you this property and this interesting property goings on too in my neighborhood with the Unora, which was declared the most toxic site in Guelph, and now it's like, wow. It's good enough for condos. How come? Because the market demands it. We'll just put a cap on that, and then we'll put some apartments on it, and everything will be fine. I personally don't think so, but that remains to be seen. But that's how hot it's getting. It's like stuff that sat empty for 20, 30 years is now in play. So,
yeah. Well, then there's that. There's Biltmore on the old Biltmore site. Imico is in play, but, I mean, they're looking at affordable housing. For that, at least, that's still up in the air. But this is all a very good segue.
Yes.
For bringing in our guest after the break.
Indeed.
Because he's a Guelph City Councilor. And, I mean, we're not talking about stuff that's happening in his ward, but, I mean, we'll talk about stuff that's happening across the city and what's going on at City Council right now. Carl Wetstein is up next. You are listening to Open Sources Guelph here on CFRU 93.3 FM, CFRU.ca, Guelph Campus and Community Radio.
For there's a friendly face, a better place, and a future for us all. It's beans and rice and beans, and a hand when you fall.
For there's a friendly face, a better place, and a future for us all. For there's a friendly face, a better place, and a future for us all.
That was the Youngins from their brand new CD. That is their name.
They didn't sound like Youngins.
Youngins. Well, they're youngish. They're brand new CD, Strangers. So
they're youngish. The youngest just turned 45.
The non-seniors, the youngins. Yeah, they'll be very disappointed that you're mocking them. No, they played the center yesterday. It was an excellent show. They're touring Ontario. The CD's called Strangers. You can visit their website. There's two youngins. There's a youngins band in Vancouver. This is not them. This is the English version. That song was called Garfour's Bus, about a guy who's a refugee and bought a bus and feeds a bunch of people in their town. Kind of cool. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So anyway, the youngins, check them out. The English mm-hmm. ones, not the Canadian ones.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Speaking mm-hmm. of youngins,
one here.
Yes, we do have the very young Carl Wettstein, city councilor for Ward 6. And we appreciate you coming in, looking very relaxed in your denim and your leather jacket. You're clearly someone here ready to rock and roll.
And he wears ID badge, too.
And he wears his ID badge in case he gets lost, I guess.
No, it's the way. Yeah.
That's just so you know I was working this afternoon.
There we go. Yeah. Flash the badge
Absolutely.
And everything's cool. Yeah.
So you had to prove to us you were working?
No. Yeah. Was that not a requirement?
I mean, it's...
The work is
it, 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 I mean, we're joking around, but I mean, obviously, yeah, this is like a busy time. It's insanely busy for me trying to cover it and everything, so I can only imagine what it's like to stay on top of it. And so let's start there. We're coming to the end of this of the year. And I remember emailing you. I can't remember if you responded or not. Not that I'm trying to... Anyway.
Hot seat.
Not that I'm trying to play gotcha or anything, but I remember I emailed all the mayor and all the councilors back in the fall about whether or not this was going to be too busy or too busy a fall with all the things going on, hydro and budget and regular business. So now that we're almost at the end of it, how do you feel?
I give you the same answer. It's our job.
Okay.
Yeah, and it is busy. I've had a couple of discussions with one or two counselors who said, yeah, it's too busy, you know, and maybe we shouldn't move things around. It's part of it. Every once in a while, we'll run into a time frame. Sometimes it'll last, a month or 6 weeks where things just happen to come together. And mm-hmm. this fall is one of those times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're right. I do want to talk about the budget specifically because
sure.
I think... we got it coming up on Tuesday. We got the final vote. It's been relatively smooth thus far. I wonder, though, we seem to adjust the process every year in terms of how we manage the budget in terms of times and schedules and how it's all broken down. How are you feeling about this year's budget as compared to previous processes?
It's fairly similar. There's been some confusion about... going back a few years, we always finalized the budget at the end where we didn't vote on a final number.
Mm-hmm.
And then the vote included capital and operating after we had done all of our amendments. This year we're breaking it into, and this is just a recent clarification, so I hope I get this right. but we're going to do the capital first, so mm-hmm. we'll just verify that.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll spend the bulk of the evening on Tuesday dealing with the base operating budget and any expansions, either as recommended by staff and or that councillors might want to bring up, and or deletions that councillors might want to bring up.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, and then we'll vote on that once we finish those amendments. And then we're going to have the third section, which is going to be the infrastructure levy discussion
mm-hmm.
to determine what that should be for 2018, same as last year, or should we revise it?
Mm-hmm. I remember very clearly your ward mate, Mark McKinnon, drew a very firm line in the sand. He said 3% all in. The mayor talked about maybe not going through all the expansions he was looking at. I think he's, paramedics and... a couple different programs. I think that's fairly straightforward. Do you have a line in the sand?
No, I don't draw lines in the sand.
just sandcastles.
But I have a road in the sand with a couple of curbs on it, if you might say. I'm gonna. Hopefully, Mark won't be too upset with me. His line in the sand was on the infrastructure.
Okay.
He has some flexibility on the base budget, but he did indicate he'd like to get the total as close to 3% as possible.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't. He quite clearly did not draw a line in the sand other than on the infrastructure. And we've chatted about that, as we should, as ward partners. And I think he and I on that particular element are very much on the same wavelength.
Mm. I know that he's bringing back the money to live stream council too, and I've talked to him about that before. Is there anything in particular you would like to advocate for, or are you kind of laissez-faire about? I mean, not that you're.
Yeah, no. good question. I'm not looking to add anything new to the budget. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a couple of new things, and Mark's going to bring that. It's only $15,000.
Mm-hmm.
It's a small item, and quite frankly, I'm comfortable supporting that.
Mm-hmm.
I think most of our time will likely get spent talking around the ET expansions. We'll spend some time on the Guelph Neighborhood Support Coalition motion that's going to be put on the table, which is really a new item.
Yeah.
So we've spent upon a fair amount of time last week, and I expect we will again.
That's I was talking to Brandon about it. Brandon's on the Guelph Politicast this week, side plug.
Right.
I imagine that's going to be pretty hard. I mean, just the optics of it, the fact that he had 11 speakers, including himself. He had a room full of people who were there specifically for that.
Right.
I imagine just from a purely political standpoint, not that it's all about politics, but you're a politician and politics play a role.
No.
You know, it must be hard to sort of look out at that crowd and trying to weigh, you know, that 100,000 and say...
Well, I don't know. Did you watch how that went? You were there.
I was there. Yeah.
Okay. And I very gingerly weighed in and said, I at least need to bring forward a point that says an excellent presentation was made.
Mm-hmm.
And the crowd was there, which was good. Our dilemma is we're trying to get a number at that point was 4.4 down.
Mm-hmm.
And here's one we would have to add.
Mm-hmm.
So as a principal, I think, and I'd like to support it, but as a principal, I think that puts the onus on me or anybody else that makes that motion to also consider where within the budget we can find some room for that.
Mm-hmm.
And if you recall, I think Mark indicated the police budget is one place,
mm-hmm.
and there may be others. But
And what was remarkable was that he asked the police officer there who was delegating, you know, would
right.
you rather see that 100,000 go to the police or go to the neighborhood group, and then the officer said neighborhood group.
Yeah, and I think he was speaking as an individual.
Sure.
And not on behalf of the police board. It's difficult for us to move stuff from a police budget or a Board of Health budget
right.
into one of our budget items. But I think Mark was mostly raising the
philosophical point.
Now, he may actually put that motion out.
Yeah.
And so we will debate it if he does, and then we'll vote on it.
Correct me if I'm wrong, though. The police board budget, that has to go to some kind of special sort of intermediary because that kind of comes from the province in terms of... Okay.
Yeah, we ratify that.
Okay.
But if for some reason we don't ratify the police board budget...
Okay.
And the police board is concerned that as a result of that, they're no longer meeting what they consider to be minimal provincial standards.
Right.
They do have a right to go to a mediating body
okay.
to have that looked at. And in the 25 years, a good part of which I've been around and part I just watched beforehand, that's only happened once.
Okay.
So police really work well with us. And when we have our broad guidelines, they work with us, they work towards them, and they've done that again this year.
Okay.
So I don't see that as being any chance of being a concern at all.
Okay. Well, after that long night, next week, we're looking at another long night the week after. That's going to be the special council meeting as a shareholder of Guelph Municipal Holdings, Inc.
Right.
The Electra merger. And we had Leanne in a couple of weeks ago, Leanne Piper. She said she was not sure how she's going to vote yet.
Right.
So are you sure how you're going to vote yet?
Well, we're going to get the formal summary of the negotiations and the recommendation
mm-hmm.
tomorrow.
Okay.
That's supposed to be out December the 1st.
Okay.
I will be consistent. We laid out two decisions when we moved through the four options of buy, sell, merge, or do nothing. We took buy off the table really fast because we don't have any money. So we can buy companies. We then took sell off the table as one we don't want to deal with at this point. So that left us with merge or stay as we are. We then, in October, voted to pursue the merger option. Mm-hmm. Once we made that decision, we asked staff and the merger committee to come back with a recommendation out of about a dozen utilities that they talked to as to who they would recommend we negotiate our first negotiation with. And then they came back with Electra as being the one. So we've been negotiating with them for the last month or so, and I expect we're going to get the results of that negotiation hopefully tomorrow with a recommendation as to what the team thinks we should accept and include how well they've answered the questions that we had. My position is pretty clear. LDCs of less than probably 400,000 customers will be merging with somebody sometime, or they'll be selling to somebody. So if this is an opportunity that we can see that's positive, we picked this one because we think of all of the merger partners we discussed, this was the best one. So if the committee comes forward with a recommendation to merge and says the questions have been answered positively, I'd be very surprised if I voted against it.
So is that the optics then, that merger is inevitable, so it's, you know, we have to choose the best merger for us? Because there's something, I guess, philosophical I want to get at, which is, it's been in the back of my mind, you know, Electra is this huge entity as compared to Guelph Hydro. So just from in terms of, I think the things that people were concerned about, it's in terms of selling Guelph Hydro to someone else, that it's not local control, that it's, you know, that the customer base in Ontario, in Guelph is smaller than a bigger utility. I think all that is still there when you're talking about merging with Electra.
Right.
So I do wonder what the distinction is. And maybe you've thought about that yourself.
Yeah, fair amount. When you say distinction, can you give me a little more?
Well, I just mean, you know, we kind of get the same result when we merge, where we become part of a bigger entity. We're a smaller customer base, compared to, especially compared to other pieces in Electra, like Mississauga, Brampton, Hamilton. You know.
Yeah, there's about a dozen municipalities.
Yeah.
The attraction that Electra has and had for all of them, because that's Vaughan and Barrie and a number, is that this whole partnership is a accumulation, if you like, of municipal only. I think OMERS has a little bit of an investment percentage from their pension fund that that they have in. They had that in one of the previous ones, and that was allowed to stay. Our attraction was, and that's why we took sell off the table. We weren't prepared to sell it to the private sector. We were nervous about Hydro One probably selling a little more of its share off than we were comfortable with. So council at that time said, no, we're going to merge with people that want to maintain municipal control, recognizing that as little as 10 years ago, there were 10, 12 years ago, there were 300 utilities in the province.
Right.
When we talked to Horizon 8 years ago, that was down to about 100. It's now in the low 60s, might even be under 60, of which a high percentage are negotiating. And that's where we are, and the rest of them are too. So the question of what's big and what's small, a million customers is big relative to 50,000. A million customers is smaller than most provincial LDCs, which only have one LDC. Manitoba, Saskatchewan, I think Alberta has two. The Maritimes together have one. Quebec is only one. We're the only province that has this myriad of LDCs, and that's the way we were structured. So all provincial governments have been saying we have to downsize, not upsize. And they would like to see somewhere between 6 and 10 utilities in the province when it all reconciles. There won't be any near 50,000 customers.
Right.
Okay.
There's an inevitability to this.
There's an inevitability. Yeah. My personal concern, and I'll share it with you guys, is I don't like the inevitability if, in fact, at the point of making the decision, one, we've lost value, and two, we've lost total control. So the attraction now, when we've got a beautiful little, very, very attractive LDC, with the support of the board of Gessie, is saying, if we get the right deal, we can get a few things that go along with it. A regional hub is critical. Electra has no regional hubs west of Toronto.
Right.
And they want one.
Mm-hmm.
One of us is going to be that hub.
Mm.
And if it isn't us, it'll be somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an attraction for me if the rest of the deal comes together. But we're not going to be big in terms of Canada-wide LDCs. We'll mm-hmm. be one of the bigger ones if we become part of that group.
Right.
And I don't see it necessarily stopping there. I think there could be a couple of other Western ones, Western meaning west of us or
right.
west of Toronto, that'll consider it. I don't know, did I answer your question?
Pretty good.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not bad. I also want to just move on. I do want to move on to the big thing in your backyard. Not your literal backyard, but your ward. But you are the first member of council I've had cornered since. And the mayor said the other day that we're going to get a legal cannabis store from the OCRC
right.
Next summer. So I know the mayor has voiced his concern that I guess it's a general concern about cannabis in general. But how are you feeling about it?
Well, I don't share his concern. I think the province has made it legal, and if we have a store, that makes sense.
Would you want it in Ward 6?
I don't care where it is.
All right. Good enough. I do want to talk about Ward
6. I think it's a legal business. I don't think it's not up to councillor to determine where businesses go
sure.
and which ward it is, and I wouldn't want to be in your backyard type of a counselor any more than anybody else.
I hear
you. The
rents
are higher, so they mightn't be able to afford it, but that's a different issue.
Well, it's the government of Ontario. They'll afford
no,
it.
No, I mean, the rents in Ward 6 are higher than they are in Ward 1.
No, I know.
Yeah.
But the government of Ontario, I'm saying they'll afford it.
Okay, keep in mind, though, the higher they rent, if it's their store
mm-hmm.
and they're paying the rent,
mm-hmm.
it's your and my tax dollars that are paying the higher rent.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's just... You know, there's a self-interest there that I occasionally throw into the equation.
I do appreciate that because I know there is a bit of reefer madness out there about it. But so I appreciate your
And I'm the old guy in council. I probably have less of a concern than anybody.
Well.
And by the way, I can also, full disclosure, I've never tried it. So I'm not dealing with it from a point of view of wanting to go to the store.
You're covered, Carl.
Thank you.
It's going to be tempting, though. It's in your ward, though, right? You got to at least
That's
visit
right.
it. You don't have to buy anything, right?
No.
A window shop.
Grand opening?
It is not tempting. Grand opening? Sure,
yeah.
I'll go and see the
All
grand
right,
opening.
There you go.
Yeah. It's in my ward. I'm going to the grand opening. Absolutely.
Speaking of grand openings in your
sure.
ward, South End Rec Center is going to design now.
Yes.
And I know that it's probably too soon to talk about when this is something that's been in the works for a while. So this must feel pretty good that this is finally going forward.
Yeah, it does. And I in particular probably feel good, although many councillors have gone through Ward 6 frustrated. We've been looking at it for roughly 20 years. So it's nice. So we're at the design stage. And our expectation is if everything goes according to Hoyle, we could get into the ground as early as 2019.
Wow.
And we're further along the process of having it in the financial plan, 10-year financial plan. We have significant DCs available for that project.
Yeah.
And we've got the design. That's been approved. We've hired the architect. So now the test is going to be council. Are you prepared or are we prepared as a council to identify where the rest of the money is going to come from? And it's going to be a combination of debt and mm-hmm. or partnerships
mm-hmm.
and or... additional tax bill.
That's crazy fast.
Paid for by weed now.
Well,
I actually don't think it'll go into the additional tax bill. I think that kind of a project will likely get financed by the other three,
mm-hmm.
partnership, DC, or debt.
Mm-hmm.
And, some people will react about the debt part.
Yeah.
The debt part is a normal way of building major
sure.
infrastructure,
yeah.
just like when you buy your house.
Not sure.
Too many people pay cash for their first house.
Yeah. But that is crazy quick, 2019. I mean,
quick is a relative term.
Well, relatively, if we're starting today
compared
and we're
to the
designing today.
Say, yeah, it's
well,
oh, no,
wait,
there's
yeah.
that.
But keep in mind, the preliminary designs in terms of what's included,
mm-hmm.
The myriad of services around pools and rinks and seniors facilities and libraries and all the rest of that, that took over 2 years
yeah.
to rationalize in terms of roughly the square footage to get us down to where we're at in terms of size.
Right.
So we've spent really the heavy work on that has been done. Now it's up to the architect to take that and package it into a project, and we can go to an RFP on to see if some, well, not to see if, to get somebody to build it for us.
Let's get reflective before we run out of time.
Sure.
Looking back, what do you think 2017 was in terms of activity on council? What do you think the accomplishments were? What do you think that will you'll remember from this year as when you maybe when you're out on the campaign trail next year? Hint.
I know I got that. let's make one thing clear, you guys. You know. Counselors may not be all that bright, but we're not stupid.
Okay? I didn't say that.
I never said that.
I did. That's
oh,
my,
you did. Okay.
That's my attempt at a joke.
Right? What Stephen calls counsel stupid. Yeah, yeah. Headline.
Calls himself.
Exactly. Yeah.
Including himself.
It was an interesting year. I think we have, our focus has been very much around the merger. I think we need it, and it started in January as we went through the various options. So I would say that's the one thing. I personally am hopeful that that will be successful and we'll be able to move forward with that, including the Green Center, including the regional operation, including the preservation of jobs and increasing job opportunities. Other than that, I think the some of the relationship stuff that was out there, I think that's sort of settled down. You've probably noticed there's not a lot of negative interaction. There was a little bit in the first part of the term. I think it settled down a little bit.
That's nice.
But other than that, I can't think of anything specific. The budget process has been relatively smooth. I don't see us having any major conflicts during the budget process. But you never know until you're at the end whether we're going to get seven votes.
Startling hint of things to come.
That's right.
Well, Carl, it's been great having you back on the show. We appreciate your time. If people want to get in touch with you, how can they do that?
Carl.Wetstein at Guelph.ca. Or they can look me up in a phone book and phone me at home.
Phone book? What is this?
That's where my phone number is. Do you want me to give the phone number? I can do that, too.
If you want.
Oh, yeah. It's 519-763-5105.
Operators are standing by.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you again, Carl, and we'll see you next week for the cataclysmic finale of the budget process.
And the week after for the merger process.
Oh.
Busy times.
Busy time.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Big cliffhangers on the council show
next couple of weeks. For election next year.
You said it, I didn't.
You did.
That's it for this week's edition of Open Sources Guelph. You can stay connected to us at our website, opensourcesguelph.com. Find us on Facebook at Open Sources Newswire and go to @OS_Guelph on the Twitter sphere. You can also hear past episodes of Open Sources on the Guelph Politicast channel on Podbean, or go to iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play and search Guelph Politicast, and you can find us there. You can find me on Twitter at Adam A. Donaldson, or go to guelphpolitico.blogspot.ca.
Scotty Hertz on Facebook, Scotty Hertz on Twitter, and I blog at spanderbook.wordpress.com.
Yes,
sometimes.
You do. Sometimes.
There's a total eclipse or something, maybe. No, yes.
Well,
check it out.
Total eclipse of the heart.
Yes. That's what it's all about.
All right. Having queued that up nicely, we'll turn this over to DJ Sounds Good to Me. Here at the top of the hour on CFRU 93.3 FM, CFRU.ca, Guelph Campus and Community Radio, and we'll be back here next Thursday at 5 for more Open Sources. We will see you then.